here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's the Grim Lord's Hentai Corner. And I've got Glow's Game, the third part. Yes, we're going to get some hentai here. Unfortunately, I think there's only two scenes. I haven't seen anything that seems to indicate more. There may be more, but I don't know. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and do those now. You guys have been really, really receptive to Glow's Game. You guys really want it. Again, you can grab it at JASC USA. And you can get it on J-List if you want the collector's edition for 150 bones. And some of you really do, so go grab that. And I am going to play more of this path. It's Alicia Path, the only path we're playing live. You want the rest, you can go get it. Yeah, it's a little expensive, but, you know, this is Sei Shoujo work, and I'm glad he's brought it to us. Because it was a long time between Starless and this one. So, alright guys, let's get started. Shit, what do I do? Even if I try, I can't flee and take Marielle with me. So what am I gonna do? Let's see. What are we gonna do? Go back the way I came. Marielle! I grab her by the hand and start running. While it's a split-second assessment, I've concluded that fighting them in this situation would be pointless. I'd have to go up against three of them. On top of that, I'd have to protect Marielle at the same time. There's no way I can manage that. And if fighting is futile, that only leaves running away as an option, as unlikely to succeed as it seems. The gimps start chasing us immediately. I can't afford to so much as look behind me. But from the sound of their footsteps, they're running after us at breakneck speed. It's only a matter of time before they catch up to us. There's gotta be something I can do to slow them down. Suddenly I remember the crevice Marielle had gotten her foot caught in. Maybe we can use it to our advantage. At the very least, it might just buy us some time. Panting as I lead Marielle by the hand, I take us to the hole's location. She tries her best to keep up with me, a terribly exhausted look on her face. We can't slow down, though, or else the gimps will catch us both. Even if it pushes her to the brink of death, we have to keep running as fast as she can. Okay, it's a weird kind of line there, but we'll go with it. Slow down, Tope. We can't. Just hang in there. We've almost made it to the hole her foot got caught in. I can see it already. I take us both toward it. That's our one and only chance. The only way we can create some distance between us and the gimps is to make use of this hole. I muster every last bit of my strength just to run a little bit faster. What? Suddenly Marielle's hand yanks free of mine. I turn around to see that she's fallen onto her face. Come on, you gotta get up! The gimps will be on us in mere moments. If I turn to help her up, we'll undoubtedly both be captured. Just when I realize that my only choice is to leave her behind. Hurry! I glance back behind me to see Marielle on her feet again, stumbling back into a run. One of the gimps is so close he's already reaching out to grab hold of her. Shit! The hole in the debris is right at my feet. Jump! Sprung into action by my shout, she blindly jumps up high into the air. As if she had known what my plan was all along, she leaps right over the hole. That's it! I bolt forward, my arms extended to catch her. A loud noise suddenly sounds out behind us as we start running again. We have no time to turn around. With her hand in mine, we simply keep running away. Hopefully they'd gotten stuck in the hole as I planned. If they did, we managed to buy ourselves some time. After a few more seconds of running, though, I glanced behind us for a second. I had to be sure whether or not the gimps are right behind us. What the? My legs involuntarily start to slow down. I haven't yet stopped running entirely, but what I see slows my pace down before I know it. She turns to me with a look that's equally confused and exhausted. When she realizes I'm looking behind us, she turns around as well. What the? She repeats my exact words. They're gone. There's no sign of the gimps anywhere in sight. It doesn't make any sense. We continue running away as I wonder to myself where they might have gone. I bet they teleport. How much you guys want to bet they have teleportation technology? While I know we need to keep running, another small part of me says that I should keep, that I should investigate what happened. I have no idea where the gimps have gone. Once we make it to a vantage point overlooking where we jump, my curiosity gets the better of me. We both stumble to stop out. They're nowhere to be found. It doesn't seem like they're hiding. No, they've just completely disappeared. We still have reason to be wary of our surroundings, but it seems unlikely they will attack us out of nowhere. They don't seem to be here. Looks that way. Was that hole here before? Huh? I realize now that a huge hole occupies the path we just run down. It definitely wasn't there before while we'd been running through the area. In fact, it's easy to imagine that a giant hole was the source of the loud noise we heard earlier. It would also explain where the gimps went. It looks like the hole my foot got caught in was much deeper than we thought. Yeah, imagine if it collapsed under us back then. It's frightening to think about how we casually walked over it, which they did. The thought has her trembling. We aren't sure some of the gimps' ultimate fate, but it seems unlikely that they'll crawl their way back up out of there anytime soon. Right now, we have more important things to do than confirm if those freaks are still alive or not. Let's get out of here. We've got to run while we still have the chance. Oh, you're right. She nods quickly in agreement. Our focus right now should be on getting away from here. It doesn't matter exactly what happened to them. As long as we create distance between us and them, it's a good thing. All we can do now is pray that we'll never run into them again. Celicia, you better still be on your guard. Her face forms in my mind as I pull Marielle back into a sprint behind me. For the time being, the bracelets on our arms are silent, seemingly promising our safety. Ever since that point, after we ran away from the gimps, Marielle has been looking noticeably down. She looks sad, yet somehow relieved at the same time. I can't think of a concise way to ask her why that is, so I'm just continuing to walk forward for now. Did I do something to upset her? When the gimps attacked, I simply wanted to keep her safe. But if I look at my actions from her point of view, maybe she found some fault in my line of thinking. I can't say for sure, but maybe she didn't expect me to try and fight them. Looking at her dark, sullen expression makes me feel uneasy as well. I should probably talk to her about this before too long. Marielle, what's up? Are you tired? Huh? Oh no, I'm fine. You look like something's bothering you. That's because there's something on my mind. What is? The people we ran from. I'm worried about where they went. It seems she's nervous about the gimps that chased us. They fell into a really deep hole, so it's probably unlikely that they were able to climb out of it. At least, that's what I hope. I don't know where they are now, but there's nothing on our bracelets, so I think we're at a pretty safe distance from them by now. They might come after us again, but even then, they probably don't have any idea where we are now. Well, that's not what I meant. I was more wondering if they got badly hurt, or even died, if the hole was that deep. Oh, I see what you mean. Apparently she's worried about the gimp's well-being. Is she really that deeply compassionate, or is her sense of self-preservation that non-existent? I feel bad saying this, but for our own sakes, I hope they're dead. Who knows what'll happen to us if they capture us? Besides, there are probably plenty more gimps after us. If I'm honest, I don't want to spend a second extra playing this game. You're right. Forgive me. I shouldn't make it sound like the enemy deserves our worry, especially not when you're protecting me. You don't need to apologize for it. Now I feel awkward. Of course Marielle has her heart in the right place. It's just that we're in a really awful situation right now. If we start concerning ourselves with how the gimps are doing, we'll wind up getting ourselves killed sooner or later. As far as our own survival is concerned, we should think of their deaths as a positive thing. I feel the same. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. So let's put that behind us, and I'll avoid worrying about the enemy so much. Well said. I'll keep you safe as best I can. Marielle bows her head to me. Flustered, I do the same in return. While our thought process is different in a few ways, our goals are ultimately the same. It's all the more reason to band together and do everything in our power to achieve that goal. So, time to start looking for the safe zone again? Yes, I'll keep my eyes peeled for it. We give each other a smile before resuming our search. We don't know where it is, but we have to find it before the end of the day. Fine sand blows through the air as they walk. As irritating as it is, whenever it hits their faces, there's little they can do about it. Son of a bitch, my feet hurt. Celicia is at the front of the group, complaining out loud as she traverses the rubble. In these circumstances, she has no choice but to lead the others. She has a lot on her mind, but for now, all she can really do is search for the safe zone. Lacey and Kokona both remain silent. They have much they want to talk about, but the mood isn't right for a conversation. They can both tell that Celicia is frustrated. Piss off. She kicks a pebble lying on the ground and swears at it. While she knows she ought to calm down, she can't hold back the surge of emotions from deep within her heart. God damn it, I know I need to chill out. She knows this on a logical level, but emotionally, she can't manage it. Why did she and Togo go separate ways in such a dangerous place? Why would he do that, on top of saddling her with two people she barely knows? Of course, finding the safe zone is important, but even before that, they have to maximize their chances of survival. But if staying alive is the most important goal, why would they split up at all? Precisely because of the situation they were in, shouldn't it have been a priority to do anything but split up? Although Togo's desire to find the safe zone makes logical sense, they would all die if they failed to find it. It still didn't sit quite right with her feelings. If only George were here right now. If he were still alive, they would have surely had better options. At least then, she and Togo wouldn't have needed to split up. That alone was plenty of reason to lament his passing. Even though she'd seen him be devoured by that horrifying insect with her own eyes, she still couldn't accept it as reality. I can't fucking believe you went and died on us. Fuck! She clicks her tongue and sends another pebble flying with a kick. It flies so fast that it hits a nearby wall. Oh, when it hits a nearby wall, it produces a loud crack. Okay, what's the matter with you? She speaks up from behind Celicia, sounding exasperated. Huh? I'm walking here. You got a damn problem? Could you please not get angry like that? Or so angry like that, yeah. Kokona forces a smile onto her face as she interjects in an attempt to keep the peace. In her current emotional state, though, Celicia takes it the wrong way. You're saying I'm angry, is that it? Do you mean you aren't? Don't answer a question with another question. First, give me a straight goddamn answer. Celicia's threatening response makes Kokona step back in fear. Kokona's very attitude was in and of itself irritating to Celicia. You are angry, but what are you so angry about? Have we done anything that would justify your anger? Not really, I guess. Stop kicking stones around and making noise then. What if the enemy hears it? Then I guess we'd have to fucking wait for them to fuck off. that mindset of yours. Lacey sighs and shakes her head, clearly worn out. It's less that she's upset by Celicia's attitude so much as she's taken aback by it. Unfortunately, everything she says only ends up stressing Celicia more and more. It bothers me. Huh? Why is that? I begged you for help so sincerely, yet you're acting like this. Cut the pretentious bullshit, will you? I'm not gonna start kissing ass just because you're a B-list celebrity. Oh, and I don't give a damn about you being Togo's favorite either. His favorite? That remark has Lacey tilting her head in confusion. She thinks for a moment, then her eyes fly open in realization. The reaction he had. This explains a lot. What? What reaction? Oh, never mind. It's just that I finally understand now. Understand what? The reason behind your attitude. Basically, it's because you're in love with Togo. What? Celicia's eyes widen in astonishment after hearing Lacey's comment. She has no idea how to respond. All she can do is stand there, shocked in the silence. True, she indeed loves him. The question is, how did Lacey figure that out? Celicia starts to worry if Togo had, at some point, let that fact slip. It wasn't hard to figure out. But what wasn't? It's obvious from looking at you. I've got an idea of why you're in such a bad mood, too. Ah, so that's what this is about. Don't fucking make assumptions about me. She shouts as a deep red blush fills her cheeks. She's oblivious to how her reaction all but confirms Lacey's statement. Anyway, if that is the case, doesn't that give you all the more reason to protect us? Maybe it's mean of me to say this, but if you let anything happen to us, you'll be betraying the trust Togo put in you. Of course, that could still happen in spite of your best efforts, but have you really been doing your best so far? Lacey's remarks hit Celicia where it hurts, leaving her at a loss for words. She can't come up with any kind of retort. It's true that the way she's acted so far could be described as betraying Togo's trust. Even though he assigned her the duty of keeping Lacey and Kokuna safe, she hasn't adopted the mindset necessary to actually do so. Which is why I'll ask you once more, please keep us safe. I'd like to ask the same thing. Please protect us so we can all make it through this game alive. As the two other women bow their heads to her, Celicia finally calms down. Honestly, their odds of coming out of the game didn't look that good in the first place. Even if they took the situation as seriously as they could, it still seemed likely the enemy would claim their lives. Celicia would have to face the situation with the gravity it deserves to have a hope of... What? Celicia would have to face a solution. The situation with the gravity it deserves. Should be a comma there. To have a hope of keeping them all alive. Okay, you're right. I'll get serious. Will you really? Yes, I mean it. But listen, I'm not just doing it for Togo. That's got nothing to do with this. Very well, if that's what you say. I'm not joking around. Lacey seems taken aback by Celicia's response, while Kokuna simply laughs. While Celicia is still blushing, they know they can't stand around and talk forever. Now then, why have we been going in this direction the whole time? You say that like I've got a good reason why. So we've been walking around aimlessly, in other words. Not my fault. We don't have any fucking clue where to go. If we don't have any clues, maybe we could turn to these for help. She turns her gaze towards the bracelet on her arm. They don't know how much they can safely rely on their bracelets, but right now, those bracelets are essentially their only hope. If I remember right, the safe zone is green, enemies are red, and we are blue. Yeah, something like that. But we don't know how much of what Celine said is true, so we should still be cautious. At this stage, I think we should also be cautious when we see blue dots show up. But blue represents us, the players. That might not be the whole truth. Blue might just represent us and something else. Wait, something else? What else could be blue? For instance, humans in general. Humans? She tilts her head, confused. To her, Kokuna's words are weirdly inconsistent. I doubt that. When I saw those men in full-body black rubber suits, my bracelet displayed them as red dots. Well then, if other humans show up as red, that's gotta mean blue. Hold on, that's gotta mean blue means they're one of us. At this point, I think it's too early to say that for sure. How so? This is just speculation, but if those people in rubber suits aren't human, then your assumption is baseless. Not human. They might be some kind of monsters that look human. I think we should consider that possibility. I agree. I see what you mean. Kokuno's speculation can't be disproven with the little they know. As human as the gimps look, looks can be deceiving. Who knows what truly lay beneath those suits? It just might be the case that the red represents non-humans and blue simply means a human being in general. And if that is the case, you think that in addition to enemies that show up as red, there might also be infiltrators who show up as blue? Yes, but if we assume my theory is correct, what reason would they have to send other people here? Maybe to capture us. It would be nice to know if that's all they would do. Lacey and Celicia go quiet after that. As unusual as Kokuna's worries seem, they can't say that her concerns are implausible. If anything, with the stakes as high as they are, they should take it into account and plan accordingly. Hey, you're smarter than I thought. Huh? Oh no, it's just a hunch of mine. It's not a hunch we can prove for sure, though. Sorry, it only just occurred to me. We're not exactly criticizing you here. In fact, Celicia's honesty impressed by... What? In fact, Celicia's honesty impressed by Kokuna. Okay. Kokuna's fears are rooted in an important truth. If they don't exercise every shred of caution they can, this place will surely claim their lives. They have to always take into account the worst case scenario.
I'm
Also, this is just another hunch of mine, but I think we should go searching in that direction over there. There aren't many buildings there, so we might just find something. Something? Like the safe zone, you mean? I can't say that's exactly what we'll find. Despite Kokuna's lack of confidence, her proposal is a strong one. Their odds of finding something are better in an open area rather than one choked by all these buildings. Yes, the enemy might find them more easily in the open in turn, but they need to be doing anything they can to find the safe zone. Oh yeah? So what did you do down on Earth? Me? Well, a lot of things, actually. A lot as in what? Well, I'm poor. I made ends meet by selling lemonade. I see. Sounds like you had it rough. Sounds like you had it tough. Whatever. It was very tough. Lol. But as they say, the past is in the past. What matters in the present is that we find the safe zone. Yep, you're right. Everyone in the group has a lot on their mind, but that's all secondary to finding the safe zone. They need to link back up with Togo's group later, so they can't afford to dilly-dally as they have been doing. Alright, I said we had... Just as Celicia starts speaking, a loud noise blares out. The three women's eyes turn to the bracelets on their arms. Oh shit, more enemies? But there's nothing on the display. What's that supposed to mean? Do some things make it only beep? Either way, we better hide somewhere. Before anything else, they need to conceal themselves. Their questions about their bracelets can come later. They don't know what their bracelets are reacting to, but it can't be Togo's group. They went in the opposite direction. Assuming the safe zone's location doesn't move around, their bracelets are most likely reacting to an enemy. With the image of George's horrific death so fresh in their minds, they don't want to run into whatever's coming their way. Oh, mine's showing red dots. The beeping is getting louder as well, and the dots are flashing more rapidly. The situation doesn't look promising, but at least they have more information thanks to their bracelets. Basically, whoever's coming is an enemy, and they seem to be heading toward their group. Their best option is to hide somewhere, though they're still unsure if they can ultimately escape notice entirely or not. God damn it, if only I had my guns. Even a bounty hunter as well known as Celicia doesn't stand a fighting chance without her guns. If it's that giant insect that's coming towards them, their only choice would be to run. You know how to use a gun? I'm a bounty hunter, so yeah. Really? You're a bounty hunter? That must be quite a dangerous job. Dangerous work means good pay. It's really reassuring to have someone like you on our side. Me too, I'm finally starting to understand why we split up the way we did. The revelation that Celicia is a bounty hunter seems to relieve Lacey and Kokuna. However, without her gun, Celicia herself only feels worried about whatever was coming. It's starting to look as though the only choice they have is to run away regardless of what's approaching. However, doing so might still put them in another life or death situation. The beeping's getting even louder. Meaning they're getting closer and closer. They'll be here any second now. They quiet down and look around for the enemy. Uh-oh. The three peek out from behind their cover. Sure enough, that giant monstrosity of an insect comes into view. Oh, shit. Whoa, what do we do now? A lot of options we have. Without any means of taking that monster head on, the only option remains to run away. Even guns seem inadequate to fight something of that insect size. Yeah. Sounds like it's really angry. Yeah, and what are we supposed to do about it? I think we should try to stay quiet. It might have a really acute sense of hearing or something. You could be right about that. Let's just stay quiet and hope it fucks off. Although she's trying to remain as quiet as she can, her fear is overcoming her. Her whole body shakes. This is the insect that had cleaved George in half, killing him. All she can think of is that if it finds her, she'll almost definitely suffer the very same fate. Fuck off already. They watch as the monstrosity walks around, its feet producing loud, echoing impacts on the ground. There's no indication that it knows where they are. At this rate, it seems like the group will be able to escape its notice. Lacey and Coconut are both dead silent. With the monster this close, any needless chatter will lead to their deaths. They stare at the creature's back, praying for it not to turn around. Don't see it anymore. It looks like it's gone. The creature had passed by without noticing them. And seems it lacks any extraordinary sense of smell or hearing. With their bracelets having fallen silent, showing no further signs of enemies, the three are overcome with relief. Thank God. I hope this means we can relax for now. Hopefully, yeah. Let's take the chance to run. Suddenly, their bracelets start beeping again, with startled expressions on all of their faces. They look down at their bracelets. Fucking hell, red again! It's coming towards us. From what direction? They've been told that their bracelets would display the direction of any incoming enemies. However, right now, their bracelets aren't displaying that critical information. What is? What's coming? It's close. It's really close. Spinning around in confusion from the incessant beeping of her bracelet, Lacey suddenly falls over. At first, they thought she slipped, but the truth is far worse. What? What in the shit is that? They stare at the thing holding Lacey's body. Some kind of semi-transparent liquid that coils around her. It definitely isn't human. However, it's completely unlike any creature they've seen before. The rapidly flowing translucent substance begins to cover Lacey's body. The fuck? Huh? Immediately afterwards, Celicia and Coconut fall over as well. The alien matter is wrapping itself around their feet, making its way up to their knees. Piece of shit! Warning sirens are blaring inside Celicia's head. She instinctively understands that unless she escapes quickly, she's doomed. But there's nothing she can do in this situation. Why aren't you running away? I can't move. Yes, that's it, dear sister. Is she pleasuring herself to those girls getting, like, I don't know, eaten by the slime? Selene is lost in her own world, muttering to herself as she watches Celicia's group through her monitor. As Selene pleasures herself with her hand on her crotch, Michiko picks that exact moment to barge in. Good lord, you're quite the disturbed one as well, masturbating to the sight of your own sister being raped. The sight of Selene playing with herself only makes Michiko sigh with an exasperated look on her face. Celine, however, is so absorbed in the sight that she doesn't even hear Michiko. All Celine does is raise a hand to her monitor, inputting a command. Just doing what it said. As the alien substance grabs hold of Celicia, a deep, disgusted groan forms in her throat and escapes her lips. She absolutely hates slimy stuff. Simply touching them makes her feel as though rashes are breaking out across her skin. Damn, I think I was supposed to save before that, but that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. To her dismay, the creepy matter slithers its way up her body, making squelching sounds as it moves. Soon it's past her ankles and up to her calves. Yeah, I was supposed to save, but that's okay. The mushy, lukewarm sensation of the mollusk-like creature on her body triggers an instinctive feeling of repulsion within her. That's even before its rotten, nauseating odor assaults her nostrils. Ugh, what the fuck is this thing? She's never seen anything like it on Earth, this flabby, slimy substance that is somehow moving like it has a mind of its own. Is this thing alive? Do heaveners have the means to create alien shit like this? Her own guess at the creature's origin sends a chill creeping up her spine. Fuck! She tries kicking and shaking off the alien substance, but its adhesive strength is strong, so strong that she can't even move properly. No! Stop! So let go of me! Hey, are you two okay? If Celicia, the one most capable of putting up a fight among them, can't move her limbs at all, then Lacey and Coconut have no hope of breaking free. If I let anything happen to them, I'll be betraying the trust Togo put in me. As her mind flashes back to Lacey's words, she grits her teeth in anger. Slimy, translucent tentacles begin wrapping themselves around Celicia's thighs. Slime tentacles, folks. Her eyes fly wide open when she feels its slightly warm touch against her upon her crotch. She looks down and sees a translucent tentacle-like appendage prodding against her. Even though it's already swallowed half of her, it's still trying to creep even higher. Holy shit, is this thing gonna eat me whole? The thought of it alone makes her shiver as she's reminded of George's last moments in this world. As more tentacles begin to reach for her crotch, she thrashes around, trying to break free. Hey, cut that weird shit out! Having that place touched by another for the first time makes her feel sick. The alien nature of the slime, combined with its warm, gooey texture, simultaneously scares and revolts her. Piece of shit, get off! Ah, stop touching me! The sensation of the slime clinging to her bare skin is awful beyond description. What the hell's going on? Looking down, she notices that her clothes from her waist down have started to smolder and dissolve. Her skin feels hot, as though she's been burned by acid. How are you feeling right now, dear sister? Suddenly, Celicia hears a sappy voice chiming out from above her head. This is fucking gross. Make it stop. I forgot to tell you this, dear sister. Your clothes will dissolve when they come in contact with a slime monster's mucus. Please be careful. They what? You bitch! The tentacles around her crotch make their way up her body. S- Stop! This shit is disgusting! Stop! Don't touch me there! Fuck! She shakes her head from side to side as cold sweat begins running down her forehead and the back of her neck. A moan leaks out from between her chattering teeth. She twists her body frantically in hopes of breaking free from the slimy tentacles. Fuck off! Stop touching me! Ah, you fucking piece of shit! As if on instinct, the tentacle simply continues to unrelentingly tease her crotch. Stop! Her exhalations are gradually becoming warmer and warmer. The indescribable embarrassment of having Celine watch her be so humiliated is causing Celicia's body to heat up. The slime creeps even further up, finally reaching her breasts and covering them up entirely within its sticky body, and puts Celicia into a state of panic. No, don't cover any more of me! Get off! Ah, stop covering me in this gooey shit! Despite her fierce and frantic struggling, she isn't making any progress towards breaking free. Furthermore, whenever the slime creeps further upwards, wriggling its whole body like that of a slug, it sends strange sensations shooting through her body. Stop! A soft, watery noise meets her ears. Her genitals have gotten wet from the slime's ceaseless fondling. Her labia have puffed up, and her small clitoris has... hold on. Her labia have puffed up, and her small clitoris is swollen. It's like, motherfucker, don't you even try. This shit isn't gonna turn me on. Her lips purse tightly together. She's embarrassed and disgusted that the alien creature is arousing her. Despite her revulsion, however, that sensual feeling she's never experienced before is spreading throughout her whole body with the slightest bit of resistance. Her mind is going blank and her vision is blurring. Goodness gracious, it seems you've gotten quite wet down there, dear sister. Surely you don't actually find slime of all things to be arousing. My, you're more perverted than I was expecting. I'm not aroused from this shit. It's just my sweat. You think some disgusting monster would turn me on? Oh, is it? But then what's the reason for all that lewd moaning of yours? The slime is able to fondle and caress Celicia's body as much as it wants, covering her entire chest that wriggles in a mesmerizing manner to grope her breasts. Okay. Get off! God damn it! Ugh. The tentacles below her waist are swarming her crotch, pushing aside the leftover shreds of her clothes. The slimy tentacles rub against her slackened slit while repeatedly caressing her clitoris. The monster's peculiar softness and stickiness causes Celicia to feel good, much to her dismay. She shakes her head, frustrated at her uncontrollable body that burns with pleasure. Just then, a human face suddenly begins to form from the slimy surface of the monster. What the fuck? Are these things actually human? Her voice squeaks with a combination of surprise and fear. The slime's newly formed eyes stare her right in the face. Wow, it speaks. A deep voice comes out of what appears to be its mouth. Despite her fear of the alien creature, the heat in her body would not go down. Even though the monster's frightening appearance makes her quiver, there is nothing she can do about the heat soaking through her body. It's like, ugh, fucking hell. Ah, ha, ha, you feel so good and are aching for more, am I right? You can't stand how wet your pussy is and need something inside it, don't you? You make the cutest face when you try to restrain yourself. Celine? You bitch! Gah! Just look how much naughty juice is leaking out of you. Your body can't lie to me. Celine's ridicule makes Celicia feel even more ashamed, causing her body to heat up even further. Fuck! What? Hey, no, wait! The tip of the tentacle funneling her crotch splits into two in order to speed up her spread her vulva open. Having her genitals so exposed to direct touch causes her legs to kick out in reflex. Stop! Stop whatever you're doing! Don't touch me there! Anywhere but there! She knows what's coming next and tries to break free, but the tentacle's grip on her is too firm. Despite how awkward the tentacles look, they rub her inner folds with shocking dexterity. Her legs and waist quiver from the mixture of pleasure and disgust shooting through her crotch. Aha! It seems you're ready to be fertilized, dear sister. Fertilized? Yes, you're ready for sex, mating, baby making. You must be ready for that if you want your pussy to feel really good. It's like, you mean we're gonna fuck? You're shitting me. No matter how much she tries to break free, the slime is wrapped too firmly around her. She can't even move her legs. So stop! Not that! Anything but that! The brass tentacle thrusts into her vagina, causing her body to spasm violently. At last! While she's saying, ah, at last! The slimy man's cock has gone inside your pussy! The painful sensation of the tentacle forcing itself inside her has her eyes fly wide open. Her womanhood is simply too tight to allow the slime man easy passage. His tentacle's tip wriggles furiously back and forth in order to spread her open. He's like, ah, it's gonna slide in my pussy! My goodness, your tight pussy must really hurt having that slime man's cock forced inside of it like that. The slime man ruthlessly pries open Celicia's pussy, unable to resist or struggle in any way. All she can do is endure the pain. The situation has her uncharacteristically frightened despite her usual bravado. You're rather fond of that slime, aren't you, dear sister? I hope you'll give birth to many sweet children. No, I don't want to give birth. Oh, eek! No, I don't want to. Your mind may say no, but your pussy says yes. It's just as Celine says, Celicia's spread vagina is soaked. In truth, it's something entirely out of Celicia's control, an instinctive reaction to keep from being torn or damaged. Nevertheless, Celine uses it as an excuse to ridicule her. Just look at how much your gaping pussy is leaking. It's sucking on the slime tentacle like it were a lollipop. The tentacle wriggles around inside of her as if it was trying to communicate with splishes and splashes. The slime monster's making her wet even as it rapes her. And if that's not bad enough, Celine's mocking her for it. All these things combined fan the flames of Celicia's shame, clouding her mind. Pleasant tingles run through her body. Fuck, I'm turned on in spite of how humiliating this is. What the fuck's wrong with my body? No amount of self-loathing can extinguish the burning pleasure inside her. The lubricant formed from the combination of her vaginal fluids and the slime's mucus eases the pain of its repeated penetrations. The slime man stirs with the tip of his tentacle, spreading her vagina open so he can plunge deeper and deeper inside. Oh, stop doing that! Don't stick it inside! Ah! Oh, it hurts! Ah, you're gonna tear it open! How does it feel to be pleasured by a creepy monster? Humiliating? Incredible? Like you're about to come, perhaps? Don't fuck around with me! Oh, it's going so deep inside you. Aha, good lord, you're soaked through and through, dear sister. I can't even tell whether the juices are coming from you or the slime anymore. As it's drawn to the clear liquid spilling out of Celicia's genitals, More tentacles come crawling toward her vagina. The second tentacle is only slightly skinnier than the first one. Without any sign of hesitation, it cramps itself into her pussy. Stop! Oh, what the hell are you doing? Her force-open vulva twitches, flushing red from all the stimulation. The feelers spread her labia, far apart, digging into her pussy. Oh god, it's going in me! Ah, don't! Please pull it out! I can't, fit anymore! Soon enough, a third and fourth tentacle cram themselves inside Celicia's vagina as well, one after another. It's like, stop it, you're killing me, my pussy's gonna tear in half, Her vagina is being stretched to its absolute limits. She nearly faints from the intense agony and pressure building inside her snatch. An intense feeling of nausea forms in her stomach, causing her to break out in a cold sweat. My dear sister's virgin vagina is packed to maximum capacity with lots of penises. Oh, what a marvelous sight! The slime monster makes strange bubbling noises as it thrusts its tentacles in and out of Celicia. The sensation akin to having the inside of her stomach churned around causes bile to rise up in the back of her throat. Like, stop doing that! Unfortunately, restrained as she is, the most she can manage is squirming a bit. She can no longer tell just how many tentacles are going berserk inside of her vagina. Their rampage exerts pressure on her womb and bladder. He's like, ugh! My stomach, it's gonna burst! Yeah, you see her stomach is getting a little larger in the scene. One tentacle penetrates her so deeply that it reaches a dead end, pressing against her cervix. As Celicia has never given birth before, the passage is still tightly closed off. The raging tentacle, however, tries to pry it open. The acute pain of having her cervix forced open stabs into her brain. The agony gives way to a strange calm as if she's floating on a cloud as her womb shudders under the slime man's assault. A thought occurs to her while she drifts in that vertigo-like state, the plain and simple urge to urinate. Stop putting pressure on! She tries to wrest control of her aching genitals, but lukewarm liquid winds up leaking from her nonetheless. Like, surely you remember this is being broadcast all over. Calum Erbs, dear sister. Ah ha ha, that turns you on, doesn't it? There is one thing I want to do here, because I'm having a hard time hearing the voices. Really hard time hearing the voices on this one. There we go. Surely you remember this is being broadcast all over Kayla Murray's, dear sister. Ah ha ha, that turns you on, doesn't it? Stop recording! I can't keep... Her teeth chatter with the distinct sound of a misaligned jaw as a jolt of sensation shoots through her. The tentacles writhe with inside her vagina. It feels as though her bladder is being wrung out, assailing her with the intense urge to pee. I can't keep it in. It's coming out. I'm gonna pee. Her urethra twinges, releasing an arc of yellow-tinted liquid and filling the air with the acrid scent of ammonia. Oh, it's beautiful. Your pee is such a brilliant shade of yellow, dear sister. Damn, woman's fucking nuts, right? He's trying to speak. He's like, blah, 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 blah. The sudden flow of urine startles the slime monster, causing him to squirm. Yeah, I guess he kind of got a little frightened by that, because it is ammonia. I don't know how that would react to his fluid. That's a very good fucking experiment. You know, because pee, yeah, it's got ammonia in it, I believe. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what... But he's made of a liquid that may counteract that. Like, it might be acid to him. But the sudden flow of urine startles the slime monster, causing him to squirm. Those movements push even more firmly onto Celicia's bladder, causing the stream to shoot from her even more forcefully. Like, then don't look at it! Please don't look! Ah, stop! Fuck, please stop! Only when the tentacles pull out of her vagina does she finally stop urinating. Yeah. It stopped. Relieved of the pain and humiliation, she pants for breath while trying to recover. The monster's relentless prodding has left her genitals gaping badly. Her pussy is tingling and flushed after being so fiercely ravaged. Am I free now? Unfortunately, it seems the slime monster has gotten over his initial surprise at being splashed with their urine. Remember, the H scenes are always really long in these. Her body recoils from the shock of being suddenly penetrated once again. Pain and shock, dire vision red, as the pressure from before pushes back onto her bladder, forcing out the dregs of her piss. Hopelessness and humiliation from being made to release against her will sap her strength. The tentacles, shining with her urine, continue to violently ravage her pussy. It's like, ugh, stop! It's tearing my insides up! The amount of force in each of those tentacles makes her feel as though her vagina is being torn apart. Rest is a distant dream for her, though, as even more tentacles slowly creep towards her other entrance from below her waist. After placing their sticky tips against her asshole, the tentacles thrust forward, forcibly spreading her anus open and surging into her innards. Now, I may have to cut this if it has any kind of, you know, poop, because that's gonna be the thing that, yeah, probably too much. The shock of having her rectum penetrated so abruptly causes her to scream. What the? Ow! That's the wrong hole! Her pink anus has been spread fully open, leaving it smooth without so much of a single wrinkle around its circumference. Both her holes sting with pain, intense discomfort, and irritation. The unpleasant sensation from being made to urinate is only intensifying. More than anything else, she cannot stand having her excretory organs violated. Stop it! Not my ass! Pull out! Please, pull out! She's normally brash and resolute, yet now all she can do is toss her head in blind rejection. Her desperation greatly pleases Celine. How astounding! Your butthole looks more like a pussy now after it's been spread open so forcefully. Stop! They don't stick it inside! It's wriggling inside my stomach. It's going so deep inside me. Its own mucus acts as lubricant to allow one tentacle to penetrate deeper and deeper inside. It wriggles its way through the entirety of her bowels, through her rectum, even past her sigmoid colon. The tentacle massages against the inside of her stomach, wriggling through every inch of her bowels as its tip gradually climbs up her throat. The indescribable sensation causes her expression to contort with agony. She's powerless to resist, her consciousness fading as the tentacle approaches its ultimate destination, carrying up a load of her insides along the way. Then, a moment later... Wow. She surrenders herself to her urge to vomit as the tip of that tentacle comes flying out of her mouth. The moment she finishes throwing up, the tentacle gathers her up her emesis? The fuck is emesis? As a lubricant and starts furiously molesting her mouth. Good gravy. Her face wrinkles from the taste of her own vomit and feces coating her throat. All she can do is stare helplessly at the tentacle running through the entirety of her body. Her agony is so intense that her face is blanched. The rally of tentacles, violating each and every hole on Celicia's limp body, began moving violently in unison with the intent of ejaculating all at once to finish her off. Yeah, I like the blah, 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 blah. Ah, wow. How does that thing even carry semen? Like, where would it store it? As she lets out a deep grunt, Spooge bursts out. I gotta say Spooge. It's supposed to be Splooge, dude, actually. Maybe they got it wrong. I've never heard of Spooge. I've heard of Splooge. Bursts out from the tip of every tentacle and sink. You know what? I gotta stop this for a second. I've never heard of that. I'm gonna go look that up. Guys, give me a second. Let's go type this in. Spooge. Okay, so it is semen. So what the fuck is splooge then? What's the damn difference? I gotta know. Inquiring minds wanna know. Okay, so here's the interest. This is interesting as hell, folks. Spooge is ejaculate, but to splooge is to ejaculate. Who the fuck come up with this word? And they have splooging. And they also have splooging, which is an ostentatious effort. Yeah, okay, splooge is the act of coming or ejaculating semen. Usually referring to the act of coming in a partner's face after receiving fellatio. Yeah, I thought so, but nobody's coming on anybody's face. It's far from her face. It's like spooge bursts out from the tip of every tentacle. It would make sense to put steam in. It would be better there. Like, I know why he did that, but it just doesn't work. The sudden spike of pressure inside of her manages to force a few final drops of urine out of her bladder. Strewn among the tentacle's mucus are roe-like balls of ejaculate, bulging within her stomach. It hurts so much that she feels like her stomach will be torn apart. Again, like, there's so many. You know what? I'm gonna say something. A lot of people may think eroge is something that is really easy to understand as far as the vocabulary. Like, it's really simple. And back in the old days, it was. Like, if you've played Dividend had the shittiest fucking H scenes I've ever read. They were really dumb and boring, and they seemed like they were written on the spur of the moment, which I think they were. But we got all these weird fucking terms that I've never even heard of. What the fuck is a roe-like ball? Roe-like. I'm gonna have to translate almost every goddamn thing. Roe-like. Okay. Well, I got this song called I Like by Roe. And there's also Euphoria. But that's not the visual novel. They don't even know what Roe-like means. Dude, I've literally typed this into fucking Google. Me and the translator gotta have a talk here. Then we have a return on equity. I type in the word R-O-E and it gives me return on equity. So what the fuck is this? Okay, we have roe or hard roe. It's the fully ripe internal egg masses in the ovaries. Or the released external egg masses of fish and marine mammals. So I've never even heard of this fucking term before. Roe from a sturgeon, okay, is the raw base product from which caviar is made. Well, I've never heard of that. I don't know if he translated that or that's just something dude added. Now I gotta find out what emesis is. Because there was so many words. Emesis. The action of process of vomiting. This drug allows you to control emesis. See, I've never heard of this shit. You have to have like a goddamn collegiate degree to understand eroge now. Not that I have a problem with it. I love words. I love weird words. But I feel like I gotta read it like Let's see, what was his name? The guy that plays Jean-Luc Picard. I feel like I gotta read it in a thick British accent, you know, while sipping tea. It's like, aw, your pussy is being turned into a slimy semen pouch. At this point, she can barely even hear Celine's elated voice. Her consciousness is overloaded by the agony stemming from the massive load of ejaculate within her vagina and the pressure of fat tentacle thrusting out of her mouth. Is this really how I'm gonna die? After what feels like an eternity of excruciating pain, the next events take her by surprise. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, that's like my favorite character in the game. It was the easiest one to do. Justice for Slime Man. Slime Man did nothing wrong. Look, if you could be Slime Man, you would be Slime Man. Come on, guys, how many of us would fucking be Slime Man right now if we had the chance? You get to be slime, you get to go through all kinds of things. You can probably still do a lot of the same things as you normally would, but you're just a slime. I don't know if that means that you would, like, if you go through carpet, like, you'd get all kinds of carpet fibers and you'd have to be clean. I don't know how that works, but the slime can clearly touch parts of her body and not evaporate them, but it seems to evaporate her clothes, so it must be the material they're made of. But I wonder if you can play games and shit and, like, still do things as a slime monster. Like, I gotta know. Like, can you still do your day-to-day work while being a slime monster? Like, I gotta know. And of course, nobody's gonna ask you for something because you'll just be like, blah, 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 blah. They'll just say, yo, just let him do his thing. He's the slime monster, you know. We're just gonna let him do his job as a fucking slime monster. And we leave him alone. That's perfect. We should all be slime monsters. I bet you know what? They won't say anything. They won't say, this man said horrible things about me. What man? I see a slime monster there. You got something against slime monsters? Slime monsters would be a damn minority. You get all kinds of things. We could do a Slime Monsters Matter or something like that. I'm for that. We should give justice to the slime monsters. The translucent creature slides off her skin, followed shortly by the slimy appendages inside her mouth, vagina, and anus dissolving away. And also, you know, as a slime monster, you'd be like, okay, that guy over there, he's got one dick. And it's only so long. But I have, like, 20! And, like, they're as long as, I don't know, a football field, depending on, well, I don't know how long the slime can stretch, but slime is pretty damn, I mean, if it can form a tentacle structure, I mean, you'd have women lined up. It'd be like Jonah Fox. According to Jonah Fox, the stuff I've read about Fox, basically there are women that have just called the man to have sex with him, like, because he's got a 14-inch penis, literally 14 inches. And they have literally just, like celebrities, really hot models, everything, just because he has a 14-inch penis, they've wanted to get with the guy. They're just like, oh, I want to have sex with you because you have 14-inch penis. So if you're like a slime monster with like a 40-inch tentacle, come on, you know, like that would be crazy. That's like that shit where you're literally just lifting her up in the air and like, man, that's some shit right there. That's some real anti-shit. The slime that now clogs her mouth and throat has her retching as she tries to breathe. The slime gradually loses its rigidity. She can feel it melting across her tongue. Oh, sir, your erection is going down, and I mean your entire body erection. Oh, no! And then they give me the fucking... Here I am, all about Slime Lives Matter, and now look at that. After a slime man ejaculates, it dies. Oh, man. Hey, folks, we're going to pour one out for the slime man. If you got alcohol, don't pour one out. That's alcohol abuse. But if you got alcohol with you, let's have a drink in remembrance of slime man here. I don't have a drink with me, but if you've got one, just take a shot and let's pour one out for slime man here. He did a good job. He did what he was supposed to do. And now he's dead. And we're gonna mourn him. He was a good slime man. He said blah 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 a lot. Look at the slime coming out of her mouth. Like, no, no, God, no, no, no! Celine's remark makes her panic. After all, Celicia's stomach is currently packed with semen and her own excrement. The tentacle had formerly been acting as a cork to keep her intestines stopped up and her gapped anus closed. Okay. All right! MGTOW.TV! This is the first time I've got to actually kill you guys. Why? We can't do the poop. I promise we wouldn't do the poop. So guess what? I'm gonna have to get back with you guys on the next one. Make sure you go ahead and support the game at Jast USA, where you'll get to see the poop. I mean, it's poop, but I promise I wouldn't do poop and animals and Lolly and Shota. So there you go. Besides, it is what it is. I don't have an issue, with frontal bodily fluids, but backdoor bodily fluids, I don't think they need to be on the internet. Preferably, you know, I'm not into scat, it's not my thing, I don't want to see your poop. That's not something that interests me. Don't think it interests any of you either. So let's just go ahead and end this one, and you can get the game yourself if you want to see that, or just skip forward it like I will. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I guess I'm gonna be out for this one. Later. The Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. I got a question for you guys. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's the Grim Lord's Hentai Corner. And this is closed game, right after the scat scene I couldn't show. And yeah, it was actually pretty funny. Gotta be honest, man. For those of you that don't know, these scenes are accompanied by flatulence. And, you know, I've always considered flatulence to be funny, like a lot of our comedy and stuff, especially around here, it's pretty funny. So when you actually hear it, you just start laughing your ass off, dude. It's like, how could anybody actually be into that? It's the funniest shit ever. And you see this heroin waifu, and it's just like these loud Taco Bell farts, and you're just like, God, who gets off on that? Like, whoever does, I don't want to meet him. It's just so fucking funny. It just made me laugh so hard. And, I mean, that was pretty much the end of the scene, so you didn't miss anything. No special dialogue or anything. But, oh my God, it's so funny. It's so stupid funny, I just... Anyway... Let's go ahead and go back to the rest of the game now. Of course. By the way, there's a little bit of poison in the ejaculate of slime monsters. Apparently, it weakens your muscles once it's absorbed into your body. In fact, as we speak, your control over your body is fading. Fuck me, so that's why my body feels so heavy. I wonder if my music is still at full fucking blast. No, I turned it down, it's still loud as shit. At first, she simply attributed it to her violent rape, but Celine's words explain why she's still hardly able to move even a finger. Before long, the muscles that keep your heart beating will stop as well. Oh, you poor little thing. Death by slime monster ejaculate. What a miserable way to die. That would be... I think she says, what a miserable way to die that would be. Okay, yeah, I see. Fuck! Move, body! Move! Give it up. Your best option would likely be to simply wait for the toxin to pass through your system, dear sister. After she offers that advice so nonchalantly, she suddenly giggles like a maniac. But if your heart stops before that happens, then I wish you a happy afterlife. By the way, I've heard that human sperm is quite effective at neutralizing this toxin. The heavy sound of many feet treading across gravel reaches Celicia's ears. Before she can move any further, an entire team of gimps surrounds her. Some part of her wonders just where they came from. Man, they sound weird, don't they? Oh, shit! You don't want to die, do you? Then I suggest you get on your knees, begging to be saved by their semen. Yeah, fuck right off. A penis abruptly thrusts into her mouth, and then... Like, ah-ha, ah-ha-ha. I don't even like to do the laughs. This is incredible. I want more. I want to see them being raped again, even more fiercely. Now this is more like... maggot baits. The gimp's penises are as large as, if not even larger than, the slime monster's tentacles. Their glands and the veins running along their cocks are as hard as stone. So I imagine the women and gay men are probably getting off on that. With how much slime and mucus the monster had soaked her with, the gimp's cocks easily slip inside of her. That isn't to say they spare Celicia any pain, however. Her slime-stained body stiffens in agony. Shame and distress simultaneously overwhelm her as two absolute strangers rape her. Even after being ravaged by that monster, it seems she still has some self-esteem left. However, her struggles are helpless to extricate her from the exposition they've pinned her in. They've got me from both sides. Fuck! She tries to bite down on the ramrod lodged in her mouth, but her jaw is numbed and refuses to obey her. Drool oozes out of her sloppily parted lips. Ain't it always that way that her body is weak and she can't do anything? That happens all the time with these. Again, I do like the art. Like, again... ignoring the two dicks in the way here, you have a... I like the way he's drawn the breast here. Oh, and there's a little tattoo there. It says... I can't read it. Let me go up to it. It says something, but we don't get to see that. What in the world? It actually says love and penis on the tattoo. So we never even knew she had that tattoo, but now we can see it clearly. And I am serious. I'm not fucking with you guys. It literally does say love and penis. If you have to bring the screen up closer, there you go. Of course, I like the way they've drawn this nipple here. Of course, the slime on her body there. You can see how it kind of flows naturally. It's kind of stuck to her a little bit. You know, it's like a goo. Yeah, I like how they've done that. The little tears and the uniform there, that's really good. Again, it's very believable. It's like the uniform just kind of ripped right off. So, again, Say does a pretty good job. You can see how the hand holds the leg there. Very, very believable. It's got a hand right there on her hair. A lot of this stuff is very important, you know, just the way that they've done it. I mean, even though it's forced, they're actually being a little gentle with the hand motions there. That's not a forceful grab by any means, folks. Her predicament leaves her feeling pathetic and at the brink of tears. She, who had surpassed so many of her male peers, has been reduced to such a state. The same dread of asphyxiation that the slime monster had taught her now returns as a gimp shoves its dirty cock into her mouth. I mean, we don't know that for sure. May have taken a shower before. Especially to put the suit on. Her agonized expression no longer has any trace of the proud person who once begged about her, or once bragged about her own heroic exploits. Well, now, yeah, she's begging for sure now, but... Ah, you seem so resolute and strong, but now you're just a blow-up doll. I'm getting strangely aroused by seeing how powerless you are, dear sister. And of course, you know, Zexy would laugh at that one. Celine laughs coquettishly. Oh, there's another one of those weird, bizarre words. I haven't... I'm telling you, folks. You know what I want to do? I want to take the dialogue from this. All the really large words. And I want to go up to one of these. Oh, it's nothing but porn. And I want to show them all the really hardcore words. And they're like, why does this stuff have, like, really deep vocabulary? Well, maybe because you need a certain degree of vocabulary and reading comprehension to be able to read it. They say, hentai readers are stupid. Like, they're just a bunch of people. You're just fapping off. You're not... But look, somebody clearly gives a shit about the English language. Because they're using a word like coquettishly. I've not heard that word in random speaking. You know, in my area, I don't think there's even one person that says the word coquettishly. Not one. So, if that's considered to be a high-level word, then, yeah, there you go. You need a certain degree. Now, I'm not going to do, you need a certain level degree to, or a certain degree to understand Rick and Morty. Oh, you need a certain degree of vocabulary to understand hentai. Like, I don't know, folks. It's really crazy when you've got these really big words. Like, let's look up the word coquettishly. Let's see. Coquettish. It's actually behaving in such a way as to suggest a playful sexual attraction, flirtatious, a coquettish grin. You know, I like that. Where did this word come from? It's usually of a woman. It's supposed to be characteristically flirtatious, especially in a teasing, lighthearted manner. And there's also coquettish haberdasher. Now, I'm aware of what a haberdasher is. An insecure woman who usually rejects or ignores societal norms in men. A strange, single, celibate woman that travels with a large shoulder bag. Wow. I've never heard of this haberdasher before. And there's also a coquettish haberdasher. And apparently this has to do with Seinfeld. Wow, here we are with hentai, and all of a sudden we're on the path to looking at Seinfeld now. Very interesting. You know, Seinfeld, it just appears in a lot of things. It may have had one of the worst endings in television history, but it's really good. You know, there were rumors for years that Seinfeld had several different endings, and I don't think any of them were true. But the way that it ended, at least here in the United States, is everybody went to jail. Which I think was the stupidest ending in the entire world. I think that the writers needed to have been drug out into the street and shot. I think it was the stupidest thing to do to one of the, I guess you could say, America's biggest comedies. Selene laughs coquettishly as she watches her sister be violated yet again. So yes, flirtatiously. Flirtatious laughter. Selene's taunts fall upon deaf ears. Selene is far more occupied with the gimp using her gaping mouth as little more than an ona-hole for his gigantic penis. Now, we do know what an ona-hole is. There's hardly space left for her tongue. The taste of his dick's gonna make me sick. The odor of the slime monster's residual mucus still lingers in her mouth. Now, though, it's joined by the hair-curling, bestial smell of the gimp's sweat. He smells so terrible that she feels as though she's going to faint. Now, I don't know if it's walking around in those uniforms, or maybe they haven't showered. I don't know anything about these guys. The gimp's meat throbbing inside her mouth is completely different from the texture of the tentacle that had been there before. Oh yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You don't even have to tell me that. This wood is different from this piece of steel. Yeah, I can gather that information. The gimp violating Celicia's mouth pumps himself back and forth vigorously. He thrusts his penis so deep into her throat that he reaches past her uvula. The stimulus at the back of her throat triggers a strong feeling of nausea within her.